From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
He's eighth, but that's a little misleading because it's cumulatively.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's another one of those freaky words, man. Cumulatively. Nailed it. 913-912-4810. Chiefs continue with their padded practice today, so going a little bit longer are the Chiefs, and so they are out there doing their thing. KC Sports Network with a lot of videos from today's practice as well. Also, a couple of notes that Ronald Jones has not really taken part in much of the team stuff.
Not a lot in team periods. He just saw elsewhere that he was with the third team with Derek Gore running with the second team today.
Oh.
So
who was with the first team?
Clyde, McKinnon, and Pacheco rotating through.
I see.
And then Gore, and then Jones with the third team.
Boy, if there's one thing that needs to get a little more hype train behind it, it's Pacheco running with the first team.
Do you see what Matt Miller tweeted? Matt Miller's at practice today.
What did Matt Miller tweet?
Can confirm some of the training camp hype, not all of it. Can confirm some of the training camp hype on Isaiah Pacheco. He definitely passes the eyeball test in person while showing impressive burst and power. There's a lot of juice to his game.
Hmm. Interesting.
The best number 10 in Chiefs history, some are saying.
I mean,
if Trent Green gets here early today, I will to his face ask him,
who's the
do
best
you think
you or Pacheco?
Yes, and Tyreek Hill's not even in the conversation.
We can't because we're not supposed to talk about people that aren't on the Chiefs anymore.
Exactly. He didn't even want to be here. Trent Green famously spent his entire career with the Kansas City Chiefs. We all know this. Isaiah Pacheco will, the greatest Chiefs of all time, to wear number 10.
Yes.
Is Green willing to hand it over to, as Travis Kelce called him, Pistachio? The Chiefs put out a mic'd up Travis Kelce last night.
That's right. Yeah, I watched that.
We got to get him the ball. Pistachio.
That guy's good.
Beards, obviously I don't have to do it right now, but can you just cut that for any time we talk about Isaiah Pacheco in the future, just Travis Kelce just saying the word pistachio? Because it's a good nickname for him. I love it.
I can work on it.
And then we can add that with McDuffie saying Spagnolia.
Yeah, that's good.
Steel Spagnolias.
It's all about the steel Spagnolias and seeing if that pistachio can crack out of its shell.
So far, it seems like he's doing that.
It seems like
the reward is worth the work, which typically pistachios are not.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, look, if you can get, well, here's the thing, you know, early in training camp, what do they call that period when you're just wearing your helmets and your shorts and stuff? What are you wearing in practice at that point?
Shells.
We had to get Pistachio out of the shells. Now that he's wearing pads, that's when the hype train began.
I see.
It's all about de-shelled pistachios.
Yeah. And now he is running with the first team, apparently. And so, hype train runneth over.
It's nutty.
Pacheco.
All I had was, it's nutty. I'm sorry, I didn't have another pun.
No, I'm just kind of examining and in my mind sort of thinking about the next step with this conversation. And if we get into running backs discussion again, because we've done it a lot.
Yeah.
We've done it a lot because it seems like one of the main parts of this team. Because if we're saying, who are the offensive linemen? Well, you know who the starters are, and then there's going to be some reserves. Wide receivers, well, we know four of them, but are they going to keep six or five? And that could be dependent on the running backs. And then, you know, the cornerbacks. There are a couple of jobs open for grabs in the cornerback room. They're going to keep six. Typically, that's what they do. So you've got McDuffie and Snead and Fenton and Williams. There's four. Lonnie Johnson, Jalen Watson, Chris Lamons, who Dave Tobe really likes. DiCaprio Boodle has been mixing in there. I just came up with four guys for two spots. So that's going to be a battle there, but that's not going to be dictated by another position.
Right.
Right? So it's not like they're going to go, you know, we're keeping six linebackers now, so we're going to take only five cornerbacks. No, they're going to keep five linebackers, six cornerbacks, four safeties, and then 10, you know, defensive linemen. Probably four defensive tackles and six defensive ends, which is typically what they do, what they've done with Steve Spagnuolo. And on offense, the main they've taken, you know, nine offensive linemen, a fullback, two quarterbacks, and then it's either six wide receivers and three running backs or five wide receivers and four running backs. It's the one spot that's really dictated by the other. And that's where Ronald Jones could impact whether or not Reese Fountain is on the team.
Right.
While Reese Fountain could impact whether or not Ronald Jones or, you know, Pacheco, probably not, though, since there's a hype train, or maybe Jerick McKinnon, which probably not, you know, or maybe Edwards-Helaire, which, you know, zero chance of that. It sort of seems like Ronald Jones would be the odd man out at this time if they go six wide receivers and only three running backs. And when you hear, I mean, it's something we haven't really talked about. It was a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weekends ago, when Jerick McKinnon talked to the media and said that he had off-season surgery for a sports hernia that he had, and so it took him a while for him to rehab, and then that's why he signed late, is because when he was fully healthy, then he was talking with teams, and he said, oh, it was a no-brainer to return to the Chiefs, right? It was a no-brainer. Yeah, there were some other teams interested, but a no-brainer, which makes me wonder if he didn't have off-season surgery and early on the no-brainer was to re-sign with the Chiefs, would they have signed Ronald Jones, or was Ronald Jones sort of a, we have no idea what McKinnon's going to do, so we're signing a guy to come in that we know we have faith in this running back. If Edwards-Helaire gets injured, Ronald Jones can do those things. We've got some other running backs in the mix. We got some guys maybe in the draft that we like, undrafted free agents or late-round draft picks. And if McKinnon is injured or some other team overpays for him, we've got at least a bird in the hand. Whereas now McKinnon's healthy. It was a no-brainer. He's running with the first team. Does it make Ronald Jones expendable? And they go with their typical six wide receivers, three running backs, and maybe they pull off a Carlos Hyde for Martinez Rankin move at the end of camp. Or, you know what, I mean, it's training camp, knock on wood, or sometimes these things sort of work themselves out, and if there's somebody that, it doesn't have to be serious, but if there's somebody that goes down for a couple of weeks or is going to miss a little bit of time, well then, you know, Ronald Jones is on the team, or, you know, or Pacheco. I'm not going to say it's one way or another guaranteed, but also if there is somebody that goes down on another team, you know, then, then you're like, okay, we at least have somebody that if we want another Ronald Jones, Derek Gore could probably fill that role in a pinch, and he'll probably be on the practice squad when they, you know, waive him.
There are a few things about it that I think do make that conversation more interesting, even this deep into it. One is that a lot of the guys you just mentioned and a lot of the training camp battles you're looking at will be decided or at least tie-broken by special teams, which doesn't do Ronald Jones any favors. No. And it is the reason that at this point, I think you could put Isaiah Pacheco's name on your 53 and pen. If he, you know, boots three kickoffs on Saturday, you might need to get a little white out. But I would be pretty willing to do that for Pacheco at this point. Beyond that, though, the one reason that I think the Chiefs still would have signed Jones if they knew McKinnon was going to be back, and it's also the reason that Jones is the interesting guy in this group for me right now, is that he is the most distinctly different of those four, maybe five if you want to include Derek Gore, where McKinnon they trust on third downs, which means pass protection and pass catching. Ronald Jones, they don't. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been put in that situation very much. When they drafted him, that's the skill set that he was coming in with. Isaiah Pacheco, it seems like that's going to be a role that he could legitimately be in. So from a first and second down running back perspective, I still think Ronald Jones has something unique to offer to this team.
Agreed.
But do they think they can afford to have him on the field if he can't even be a threat? If you see, oh, there's Ronald Jones, it's a running play, you can't put that guy in the field in an offense like this one. So I think there's a role for him. But if Pacheco just is better than Ronald Jones right now in a variety of ways and he becomes expendable, I think that probably says more about Pacheco and the rest of that group than it does about Jones. I'm still not ready to throw the dirt on Ronald Jones yet, even though it seems like it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, no, I'm not either, but I also think that, you know, we've talked about the pass protection or lack thereof from Ronald Jones, that if Pacheco shows that he's serviceable, well, then that's what Ronald Jones is struggling at too. So if Pacheco shows that he can at least do that, maybe to the level that Ronald Jones can, which isn't a high level, and he offers the ability to catch the ball, he offers the ability, the burst, things like that. What I like about Ronald Jones is that I do believe he's a more powerful, he's better short yards. I don't believe Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a good short yardage goal line, you know, goal to go situation running back.
Yeah.
I don't. I think that's missing from his game, and you can see it in sometimes the lack of reading the offensive line and some of the holes, whereas Ronald Jones isn't that guy. So if you're down inside the 5 yard line, I want Ronald Jones in the game. I don't want Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the game. Or maybe even McKinnon. McKinnon's a good player, I think can read the offensive line and has the vision to find the holes, but he's not as powerful as Ronald Jones to move a pile or win a one-on-one against a linebacker at like the 2 yard line and be able to spin off and get into the end zone, where I think Ronald Jones offers that certainly. But the special teams aspect is Jerick McKinnon is a good special teams player. Yep. And was good last year on special teams. Pacheco, when Dave Tobe says, we're going to give him every chance to be the guy. Okay. He likes that guy.
Yep.
So then, what about wide receiver? Well, Justin Watson, he wants him to be Marcus Kemp. Okay, well, I hope he's better than Marcus Kemp. And I don't mean like better special teams-wise. I hope he's a better receiver than Marcus Kemp. Because simply having somebody that takes up a spot with wide receivers when you've got so many new guys and there's so many question marks about the wide receiver room, takes up a spot because he can cover a kick. Now, I'd rather have a guy who can play wide receiver. Yes, they do have to be able to play special teams when you're that far down the roster. Anytime you're talking about those final spots on a depth chart, special teams matters. But I'd rather lean towards not as good special teams as Marcus Kemp, but a better receiver than Marcus Kemp. Because if somebody goes down, well, then especially if you're talking about your fifth receiver, like Marcus Kemp was the sixth. Justin Watson might be the fifth. If they keep six running backs and five receivers, it seems like Watson is that guy. Okay, well, he better be good. He'd better be a good receiver and not just, oh, well, you know, he plays wide receiver, but it's really the number he's wearing because he's a special teams guy. Okay, look, I appreciate the third phase of football. I appreciate the coaches that say we need to be good in all three phases and then immediately are required contractually to name those three phases. Offense, defense, and special teams. Don't forget about that. Right, I appreciate it. That's fine. Great. This team will go as far as the 11 players on offense and 11 players on defense that play in the game. So if Josh Gordon is the best wide receiver after the last or of the first four, then he should be on the team.
You're going to have to find somebody to step in. I just pulled up the percentages and the snap counts on special teams last year because you mentioned McKinnon. He played 28.5% of the Chiefs special team snaps last year while missing a bunch of games. Like that is a large share of the snaps. He played more special team snaps than Tommy Townsend did last year, just for a point of reference for what, you know, less than 30% means. The top of this list, though, for top snap getters last year, Dorian O'Daniel, 79%. He's a four-phase guy. Marcus Kemp, 73.6%. Armani Watts, 66.8%. Those three guys are all gone. And so whenever you're looking at, hey, who's going to make this roster? Who's going to fit in where? This is why Elijah Lee is going to make this team.
Agreed.
Because Dorian O'Daniel is not on this roster anymore. It's why one of those receivers has to be arguably an elite special teams option, because Marcus Kemp really was that. I know that there's that only adds so much value to your 53-man roster spot, but he was an elite special teamer. Armani Watts, you go back again and you say, okay, well, the safeties are clearly Juan Thornhill, Justin Reed, and Brian Cook. Who's going to be Deion Bush has to be the Armani Watts replacement on special teams, or it's going to be somebody else, because these roles do still have to get filled. They don't always have to be, you know, the same one-to-one position swaps, but those are the three guys off this roster. Ben Neiman, we don't know about Lamonts yet. I'm still working on deciding if I like pronouncing his last name that way. You find a lot of snaps have left the special team side of this team. That happens, because that's also where your roster churn typically is. It's with your 48th through 53rd guys, but that is still going to determine a lot. And they're going, if not determining it as a tiebreaker, especially you must be this tall to ride. If you're only going to carry five receivers, that last one cannot be Josh Gordon. It can't be, because otherwise Sky Moore is going to have to play 75% of special team snaps.
I mean, I
think they'll keep six. I think Watson's on the team.
I'm in agreement to a point about, you know, that fifth receiver, if they only keep five, can't be Josh Gordon. I would also offer that, can you find that spot somewhere else? Like, okay, he loves Justin Watson. He likes Chris Lamonts. You know, is it Deion Bush? Can Brian Cook be that guy as well that can be a four-phase safety like Armani Watts was Elijah Lee and Carter, if they're making up for Dorian O'Daniel and Ben Neiman. Maybe Leo Chenal, with his athleticism and physicality, is a guy that can play on the special teams and get down the field and cover a kick. If he is that fast and running downhill is his specialty, and he's going to be in there probably on base packages and not as much on these sub packages, which is typically now your base package is your sub package. Those things have evolved over the time in the NFL. That if it means that those 11 players on offense, the wide receiver room is better served with the fifth guy being a specific wide receiver, then I would trust that the quote-unquote best special teams coach in the league, who has an associate head coaching title, could probably figure it out. Because that's kind of what you're paying them for.
But you also have to take into account the amount of snaps other guys are playing. So depending on – and first of all, I just think they're going to keep six receivers. I think that sixth spot is probably going to be Dave Tobe's spot more than it's an offensive mm-hmm. spot. And that way, if it's Gordon or if it's Reese Fountain, if it's somebody who they end up cutting and make it to the practice squad, if Juju Smith-Schuster gets hurt, whoever they call up is going to be the guy that could actually play some receiver snaps. I think having an expanded practice squad as a permanent addition is going to be a very good thing for that as well. But the issue there is just that there are – what did I get through? Five or six guys last year who played more than half the snaps.
Yeah.
And probably Noah Gray is going to be the only one that ends up being on this team again this year. So you can mix and match and try to find the guys on the roster to that have the skill set to do this. And I think Chanel's is a good option, specifically at that linebacker spot. If he can, it seems like he has the speed. His change of direction isn't great as a linebacker. Yeah. Don't need to do as much of that whenever you're streaking down the field violently. So I am relatively optimistic about them figuring that out without having to disrupt the best players for the offensive and defensive sides of the roster. But I do think it's a pretty major part of the equation.
If it's not Justin Watson and it's Josh Gordon and they have four running backs, like over the course of the season in special teams, what's the difference that makes as opposed to having five actual receivers that you feel like can go out and make plays and be a legit receiver and not a special teams guy who's listed on the depth chart as a special teamer?
Sure.
Those are the questions that are going to have to be made. Look, Dave Tobe has power. When it comes to some of those final roster decisions, he doesn't have power in saying that Josh Williams is going to be a starting cornerback. Sorry, Spags.
Right.
Sorry, Dave Merritt. It's Josh Williams. I don't care. But if it's we need to figure out who the final corner is, we need to figure out who the final wide receiver is, we need to figure out what we're doing at safety. You know, is it definitely going to be Deion Bush? Is it Nazee Johnson? Does he make the squad over? Is he a better special teamer than Deion Bush, right? I mean, so is it something like that that you might look at? Devin Key was, a camp darling a year ago. Is he a guy that, makes the team and is better this year? Although I've heard his name zero times.
Yeah.
I've heard his name less this year every single time than what we heard it last year. The exact number of times we heard it last year is the exact number of times opposite we've heard it this year. So, who's going to be that guy? I know that Dave Tobe has some power, but if I'm looking at this team and saying, okay, it's got to be the collective that's better and deeper in this wide receiver room to be on level or better than what it was with Tyreek Hill last year, then I don't want to lose a spot or two in that room and say,
sure.
Well, yeah, this guy's not going to be all that good, but man, he's going to be a really good Marcus Kemp type player. And if somebody goes down, well, then good luck, because some of these other guys have signed with other teams. If it's the collective, if the whole is greater than the sum of its parts and you lose Tyreek Hill, I'd rather play the numbers game and say, no, this guy is a legit wide receiver. Can he play special teams? Yes. Dave Tobe figured out. You need this guy to go play special teams? Dave put him in the right position, because we need this guy to play wide receiver on this team. And that's going to be important for us / the offense overall. So I looking through the roster, like if you do the exercise of the official 53 man roster and 25 on offense, 25 on defense, and three specialists, when you go through that, well, you've got five of them taken care of. Mm-hmm. Three specialists, Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne. And there's a lot more obviously than that you've got taken care of, but it really comes down to a couple of spots on the offensive line. in depth pieces. It comes down to a couple of spots in the wide receiver room and whether that's two or one. Your running backs are kind of decided. It's going to be Edwards-Helaire, McKinnon, and then Pacheco, Ronald Jones, Derek Gore, either two or one from that group. And then there's a big battle in the secondary. Who's going to be the fourth safety? Who's going to be the fifth and sixth cornerback on this team? Those are the and obviously defensive tackle matters, you know, because they sign Shelton a couple of days ago. Colin Saunders has had his injury issues throughout his career, things like that. You know, who the last defensive end is going to be? Is that Malik Herring, right? Is it going to be something? Like, there are some spots to win, but it's not who's the starting right guard this year.
Right.
Like, who's going to be the starting cornerback for this team? Like, you feel like it's McDuffie, Snead, and Rashad Fenton.
We were going to talk ourselves into the right tackle battle, and then Niang started on the pup, and I haven't heard a peep about Darian Kennard other than that he kind of looks like a rookie to this point.
Yeah.
That's Andrew Wiley's job, which is cool. That's fine. Christian worked in a little bit. They're going to make him a swing tackle guy. I think that was pretty straightforward. Roderick Johnson, we've talked about the two. We've talked about Christian and Johnson both, and kind of the differences between the two of them. But ultimately, Andrew Wiley, I would put money. I would make this a – I don't want to make it a taser bet, but I would put a, you know – a shiny nickel on Andrew Wiley, barring injury, being the starting right tackle week one. And that was the biggest starter question we had coming into camp.
I'd like to know if DraftKings Sportsbook has a prop bet for Wiley starting at right tackle.
I would like to be involved in that, please.
It's not going to help us, you know, eventually when, you know, Kansas does allow then the placing of bets to take place, because that would already be decided at that time. But I do wonder if that prop bet is available.
Do you want to take the other? What odds would you give?
Oh, that's going to be like -250 for.
I don't. Can you do the ratios thing? I haven't fully ever figured out the pluses and minuses. It's a little confusing to me. I just like
pretty decent favorite.
I just like the hey,
2.5 to 1
money line. You know,
1 to 2.5.
Give me straight up.
Yeah, I'll give you $100. You give me $100 back.
I'll bet you
Andrew Wiley is the right tackle. I'm not taking that bet. That's absurd.
I'll let you go ahead. What did you say you wanted to make it? -250
-250.
I'll bet you $1 that Andrew Wiley is the starting tackle week one, and if he's not, with an injury clause here, I will pay you $250. $2. That's $2.50.
Yeah.
Just make it. It's a dollar bet.
Figured that was the
That's
case.
About what my budget's going to be on that, I think.
Yeah. Beards, you can go ahead and say on the air, what do you think we do here? Should we break?
I asked Beards if we should break like 4 minutes ago. He's like, no, I don't think so.
Are they ending practice?
Could have taken a break, Beards.
The horn blew that Spags said about 4 minutes ago.
Spags is right, the horn did blow.
Okay, the horn blew. So do we have an update maybe from Tolebo? Are they walking over to the tent? Are they stretching? Are they doing some calisthenics?
I have not heard anything from Lebo outside of just saying that the horn blew.
Okay. So what do you think we should do, Beards?
I'm fine to just wait it and see, because I don't want to like have to interrupt the break to come back.
Jason, what's it like to have Beards tell you to not take a break?
Go ahead and put my legs up on the table.
Lean back, man.
Let's get rolling. All right, there's 15 things we haven't got to yet.
If you're at home right now and you're thinking, or listening, driving around, whatever, and you're thinking, boy, I wish I had something to do while I was waiting for a press conference to start, you know what you could do? You could go to 18WHB.com and participate in our virtual auction that goes until 10 p.m. tonight. Hello! That was sort of a, I don't know, do you have more information you wanted to give on that? There's some great stuff there, 18WHB.com. We will have some live auction items, and it's all online going now until 10 p.m.
Yep, and it's presented by Core First Bank, Dimensional Innovations, and Victory Ford there at 18WHB.com. So I'm going to take Beard's word for it, and we're just going to stay here and then throw it to the press conferences when they start. It'll be Andy Reid, Justin Reid, and Patrick Mahomes today that will be talking. And so whenever that happens, we will throw it to St. Joe, where Todd Lebo is up there getting ready. But we do know practice is over, final practice before they play some preseason games, the Bears coming up on Sunday. Todd has said the huddle has broken up. They shouldn't be long.
I got more good news for you online right now. Your bid of $215 is still holding as the leader on the Nick Bolton signed Mizzou mini helmet.
Great.
So
I appreciate it.
you are good there. There's also some more Nick Bolton merch. Uh-huh. You got yourself your more Nick Bolton merch. Yep. This show is very pro Nick Bolton. I just want to keep making that clear here and going forward. Lots of great stuff, though. The I think the Patrick Mahomes signed seat back.
Yeah.
Numbered out of 300. That's pretty cool.
Seat number 15 as well.
Oh dang! Wow, that's
you can't
a good
have
call.
Him, you can't have him sign like seat 87. You know, is there a seat 87? Ah, but in the row, well, we're section 415, row B, seat 87. I kind of feel like you need to go on the other side. I don't think you need to go past 87 people trying to get to, or 86 people trying to get to your seat there, guy. Just go in the other section, and then you'll have to only pass like 12.
Come
you'll
around.
Be fine. So, yeah, it's going to have to be numbered from that standpoint. But I also like the there is a helmet signed by Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce. A nice little triumvirate.
Pretty good.
With those guys. Mecole Hardman, game-used AFC Championship game, game-worn AFC Championship game jersey as well, autographed. So a lot of really, really cool spots or things that you can get there. It's 810WHB.com is the spot for you to have the virtual auction. Here's Andy Reid.
Zane Anderson has a shoulder sublux, we call it. So, but it's stable, so he's making. Frank Clark was sick. Jennings, concussion, and then Lucas with the knee surgery. Everybody else practiced. It was good to get Jody some work back out there. We're ramping him kind of back up, so he was able to do the front part of practice. As far as the game goes, we'll go quarters for the quarterback. So we've got four quarterbacks. Each one will get a quarter. And then their group will kind of follow along with that. Try out the young guys, the majority of the reps as we go, and make sure they get enough work. All right. With that, time's yours.
Coach, Omar Bayless left practice early as well. Do you know what was wrong with that?
Bayless. Let me tell you, Herbie. Doggone it. Just his lower back tightened up. Yep. All right.
Coach, for a guy like Crump, it doesn't get many reps. What are you expecting to see from him?
Yeah, so I want to see execution. I want to see how he controls the huddle and the offense, how he handles the bright lights, right? Although the lights won't be on, but, just see how that goes with that.
Last year, the first year of the three-game exhibition season, and I'm just wondering if anything you learned from that experience that you take into this year, or just anything, or just the way you pursue participation or anything like that?
Yeah, so I was good with the three games. I mean, we can still get our work done. There's a balance there, letting the ones get a little bit of work and the guys that are going to play in the game and still have the competition at certain positions, and then most of all get the young guys a look, so that when we have to make these cuts, it's as hard as it can be on Brett and myself.
A lot of teams have been kind of slowing down, tempering down their starters playing. Do you ever feel like you ever want to change, or are you just going to keep going the way you are?
I'm not saying that it won't change. I mean, I'm never going to say never, but I think it's good to kind of get the juices going, get yourself out there, and even if it's a limited amount of plays, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself mentally to go play. And I think that's something you can get out of. I'm not saying it's wrong what the other people are doing. That's kind of where my comfort is with it.
Coach, you mentioned the cuts, and the first ones are coming up next week. What do you tell your players before you get to Chicago what they need to do to impress you all?
Yeah, don't count the numbers. Everybody's going to play. Everybody's going to have an opportunity to play. So when you have a chance to play, play. Don't start counting numbers. This guy's here. I'm on third team. He's on second. Don't do that. Just go play.
Looking at him on practices and being in meetings, who's going to step up and be great in games and who's going to fall back?
Well, you have an idea. You just got to see. There's always somebody that surprises you, at least one person. So.
I know you don't game plan a lot for these games, but what would you deem success for Patrick in his quarter once he checks out of the game?
Yeah, just to kind of get back in the swing of things. And
all right, so there's Andy Reid. He's talking about what will happen on Saturday, the expectations of playing time with some of these guys, what he may want to see from Patrick Mahomes, and just get back in the swing of things. He said each quarterback is going to get a quarter. Here's Andy Reid.
Nope, and Andy Reid's gone. And gone, Reid.
And gone.
And gone, that Andy
was
Reid.
So, that was so teed up for you that I almost did it.
There's a drive, and Andy Reid, and caught, and up, gone. It's gone. It's off Canseco's head.
To be one quick note here, Andy Reid said the quarterbacks will each take a quarter. I believe he said that last year, and then Patrick Mahomes played one quarter.
Here's Andy Reid.
Played one drive.
For a reason, and so we can evaluate. We evaluate every night with these guys, for these guys, so they know exactly where they stand if they want to know, right? So, but we do that every night and give them a grade. So, sorry, let's see. I think it, you know, this is part of it, though.
You mentioned the evaluation, but I noticed like on Tuesday, you're bringing in a guy like Danny Shelton, the former first-round pick. What are you hoping to get out of him with as much left of training camp and even the preseason games?
Yeah, I think we'll get a lot of him. He's a big guy. You know, there'll be a lot of them here, right? He's a big kid. He's really he's a gifted athlete. For as big as he is, he's a gifted athlete. He's had some real productive snaps. He was with the Giants last year, had productive snaps there. You know, he and I probably could afford to lose a couple, and I think he'll do that as we go forward. So.
Coach, for a guy like Ronald Jones, veteran that doesn't seem to be getting much time out here at training camp, what do you expect to see from him?
Some days he gets more than other days, and but he's taking advantage of that, the chances he's getting, working hard. So he'll have a chance to play. Yeah. We'll just see how he does.
Coach, how would you assess the team as y'all are heading into this first preseason game?
Okay, Andy Reid continuing to talk, and there in St. Joe. Ronald Jones, some days more than other days, that he's getting some of the carries and being a part of the offense, first-team offense, second-team, third-team. Today, didn't get much work at all. One of the reasons why that question was asked about, you know, Ronald Jones, hey, not getting much work, what's the deal? Some days he'll have some work, some days more than others. He'll get a chance to play on Saturday, is what Andy Reid said there about Ronald Jones. So we will we'll see what happens on Saturday. Again, we were talking about it that, you know, he said that each quarterback is going to play a quarter, which is, I'm not buying it. First thing I wrote down is I'm not buying it. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
I got to ask, are we going to expect to see any of that in the games coming forward? Have you tried to ask Aiden maybe you can do one or two of those?
I haven't yet. Maybe as the season goes along. Usually they happen best when they kind of happen naturally. And that's what I think when that left-handed pass happened in Denver a couple years back, it was kind of out of necessity. And so I just like to keep myself ready in case that does happen, I'm able to make it.
Left-handed passes from Mahomes. Right-handed, left-handed, two-handed, flip pass, behind the back.
Chest pass.
Drop kick. Right kick, left kick, right foot creep.
Two hops this time. Take it back now, y'all. To St. Joe, where we're going to go back to. Nope,
we are not.
We're not.
You're and gone.
What do you think? What do you think they're talking about now?
Probably, you know.
Well, let's find out.
Let's find out.
NFL game. What do you remember about your first experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of nerves. You're getting in there. Your mind's kind of racing. Obviously, the speed of the game has intensified, but also the playbooks that you're trying to think and play at the same time. And so what I do for them is I tell them to study as much as they can, then when they get to the game, just go out there and play. At the end of the day, if you go out there and play like you've done it your whole life, you're in this position for a reason, and you can let your talent show.
Patrick, you talk about the physical part of it, you know, getting that one hit. How much of it, Andy Reid talked about getting the mental reps. How important is that getting that record going?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, when you get into the game, it's different. No matter how hard you practice out here, to have the live bullets, I mean, live things going, like have guys flying around to around your face, you can get hit as a quarterback. I think that's stuff that you have to make sure that you're ready to go. And so to be in the game, going through your reads and making the throws the right spots, I think that's going to be big for everybody.
Really clicking. Just what have you seen from him all camp and to this point heading into the game?
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He does a great job of kind of getting in and out of routes. He does a great job of tough physical catches. But he has a great understanding for the playbook already. So as some of these new receivers get more and more accustomed to the playbook, you can see their talent show more and more. And I think we have a good group of guys that are smart and that have the physical ability to go out there and make plays.
For Saturday, just timing, just staying in rhythm. just let you kind of get a see of what it's going to be like in a game setting, or is there something more you're looking towards?
Yeah, no, it's definitely just getting in rhythm. It's getting in the game and seeing how the clock's running, and everything in the game kind of speeds up. I mean, it seems like the play clock's shorter, it seems like. The plays are you having to happen faster with the pass rush. And so everything speeds up. So for the guys to be able to think mentally, go out there and execute and show off their talent, I think it's going to be good to be in the game and kind of see how all these guys take that next step and we kind of move on to get ourselves ready for the season.
Jared, but what tells you maybe Pacheco, you know, hasn't had any regular season reps, obviously. What tells you maybe he could be a contributor for you guys this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's physically gifted. I mean, and he's a smart player who practices really hard. I mean, he's big, he's fast, and I mean, when you're big and fast and you're smart, usually good things happen. So it'll be good to see him now have to show off his vision wherever we're tackling, making those cuts, and then getting vertical and showing off that speed. So, I mean, he has all the physical tools. And he's been mentally great at practice, so it'll be exciting to see him in the game where you get to go out there and make stuff happen.
How excited are you to see Sky Moore? You know, you've got a lot of rapport and you said you gained that trust. How has that trust continued on to training camp and what do you expect to see out of Chicago?
Yeah, no, when you have a guy that's learning, not making the same mistakes, I'm a young guy at that, it's always a good thing to see. And like I said, I mean, when you get in the game, it's different. I mean, you have to make sure you're not making those mental mistakes as much as the physical ones. And so to see him kind of lock in, learn the playbook, and then go out there and execute on game day, it'll be something that can just keep building that trust for me.
Do you remember anything that you maybe did before your first NFL game, maybe like a pregame ritual or maybe something mentally you told yourself to kind of give yourself your calm down?
Yeah, I think I still do the same stuff that I've done since my rookie year and since college and even before that. I go through the same type of routine warming up. I prepare myself mentally by studying what I need to study before the game. And then when you get out there, you have to just go out there and play. And so that's the biggest thing for me is preparing myself before the game, being in that same routine so that when I get to game time, I can just be myself. And at the end of the day, if you're the best version of yourself, that's all you can ask for. That's all anybody can ask for. And so that's what I'm going to tell them is go out there and do whatever they can to give everything they have on every single play.
All right, there's Patrick Mahomes and, talking about what he's going to do on Saturday. Pacheco, he is big, he's fast, and he's smart. And when you've got those things, typically good things happen. That's from Patrick Mahomes. So we'll see what he looks like on Saturday. Today is the autographs for the quarterbacks, running backs, and specialists. So the loud cheering, I'm assuming, is for when Mahomes is done. It'll be Justin Reed is going to talk here soon. And as Mahomes is done with his media and then heading over maybe to sign autographs, it might be even louder. So we'll find out what that sounds like. But, yes, today quarterbacks, running backs, and specialists are the autographs there. So
you insinuating that Tommy Townsend isn't getting the people going like that? I feel like that's pretty disrespectful.
It's not an insinuation. I'm specifically saying that.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, so you're right. So it is not. You are not insinuating it.
No.
You are explicitly saying it.
Yeah, it's not a group of it's not a bunch of Coreys out there just waiting for Tommy Townsend's hair to brush by him.
that's the best hair to be brushed by, though. I mean, just purely just the physics of it all.
Yes. So Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid said, will get a quarter. We'll see if it's anywhere near a quarter. The first quarter, I would say he might get the first quarter if the Bears come out and have an 8-minute possession, the first possession.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have a possession, and then the Bears come out and have another possession that's long enough that goes into the second quarter. Then I think he would have got the first quarter.
I tell you what, if the Bears come out and have an 8-minute first drive, the show on Monday is going to be fearful. We are going to have some things to talk about.
Unless, of course, it's like, BS pass interference calls that extended drives on third downs, and that wasn't – they should have been off the field on this one. They should have been off the field on that one. The officials clearly had it in for the Bears. The officials placed some money on a preseason game.
I can't believe Eric Bieniemy told them not to cover anybody, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Bieniemy's fault that the defense wasn't any good. It always comes back to that. So there you go. Todd said defensive backs are signing autographs. It says right here on my schedule, quarterbacks, running backs, and specialists today. So they're still waiting for Justin Reed to get there because defensive backs are signing autographs.
He might just be such a man of the people that, he can't turn down a kiddo. What if there was a screaming crowd of children out front going, Jason! Jason Anderson! I love the zone!
I would wonder what I did in life to end up in hell. Justin Reed is walking over to the podium, apparently right now, after signing some autographs. Or he was just signing autographs waiting for his turn to do media.
I think that's my favorite, here's Justin, favorite joke you've made.
Is Justin Reed right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys are hungry, you know, and one of the best things about this defense is the intelligence level. The IQ level across the board is very high. Guys are bought in, and that's given us the opportunity to be very multiple. Now, obviously, in preseason, we're not going to be exposing our whole deck of cards. But guys are excited to play, and I'm excited to be able to line up against somebody wearing a different colored jersey than I am for once.
Just how does it feel, like you say, trying to see an opponent, but you also know you can't really do what
Yeah, it's bare bones football. We know what you're going to do. You know what we're going to do. Let's line up and let's do it and see, you know, test the wheels. You know what I mean? Let's see what your true skill set is before we get into the game planning and, you know, make it hard. So that's what this is about. It's about showing, giving guys the opportunity to show what they got and some guys earning some roster spots.
Think back to your rookie year. What was that first preseason game like for you? What do you remember about that game?
The first preseason game was here in Kansas City, and my first snap was against Travis Kelce. Yeah, I won't ever forget that. Yeah, I ran a curl route. That was the way they opened up the game. But it's exciting, man. It's your first time to put on a jersey. I'm even, for the rookies that's coming in this year, the first time to strap up and actually put on the game uniform. It's going to be an unbelievable feeling for them, and I'm excited for them. I'm excited to go out there myself. I'm excited to watch those guys go play.
Was Pat the QB or was that Alex Smith?
Tough to remember. I don't exactly remember if Pat was a QB or not. He might have been. I think he only did the first drive and he was done. Yeah.
How is it now? Just the same thing?
The guy is just extremely talented. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want any tight end in the lead to go against. I wouldn't want any other tight end in the lead to go against day in and day out because we're just making each other better. Yeah.
Any particular message for the young players? You got all these, you know, rookie defensive backs.
Yeah, go.
Particular message?
Go. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. The game plan will be simple. Their game plan will be simple. Ours will be simple. You're going to know what to do. Go out and show what you got. Go make a play.
How excited are you to just be able to get out there after a little while off and get that first hit against
somebody? Yeah. Shoot, man, that's what real football is. Yeah. You know, these X's and O's grinding up and doing the 7-on-7 is great, and they all have to play a great role. It's a whole different ball game when you start adding in the physicality and you start testing the man's will and to line up against you every snap. You know, so, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, even Najee working at that cornerback position. How's the competition at that particular position? What have you seen from these younger guys?
Yeah, stiff competition. I mean, the guys are rotating. They're taking advantage of their opportunities. Like I said, though, things are going to unfold themselves as we start getting into the preseason games. We start having some live contact and start seeing how guys perform under pressure. But up to this point, they've been doing an excellent job. I mean, they're hungry. I said it before, this defensive playbook is not easy, but they've been attacking it in stride and been doing a good job with it.
What do you think
of Brian? Oh, extremely intelligent guy, physical guy. He's going to come in and play a lot of good football for us. He's going to make some plays.
Yeah. Is it a little bit different? Do you feel kind of like you take your helmet off and now you become like an extra assistant coach for all these young guys in this game? How do you describe the role?
I would say more on field.
Going to be more on field, and that's actually where he ended it. You know, it sounded like he had a lot more to say, but his role is I would say more on field question mark. Maybe he's questioning himself what he's going to do. His first ever preseason game in Kansas City against the Chiefs, it was 2018. Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback. Justin Reed is now back.
You know you're not going to get a lot of action.
It needs to be perfect. Just like you said, the game plan is going to be simple. What they're doing, what we're reading should be simple. The gap scheme should be perfect, especially when we're running out there with the ones. We need to be good technique, good form. Needs to be no mistakes. Yeah.
But it's still your first game as a Chief, and you you've worn the jersey, but what do you feel like your emotions might be like for the first time taking the field as a Chief?
I'll tell you what, I'll be more excited when I get out in front of Chiefs Kingdom and we have a home game. This first one, we're on the road. I've been to Chicago before, and, you know, their fans are great too. But I'll be more excited whenever we get here down the road and get to play in Chiefs Stadium.
Got a big leg, but Dave Toke got a
pretty
inspired the other day.
Oh, yeah, I blew that one.
Did he give you any notice at all? Just throw you in there?
Hey, threw me in straight into the fire. You know what I mean? But that's how it's going to be. Next time, I'm going to get some swings in beforehand, you know, try and get those out of there. But if that ever happens, you know, I'll be ready for it. We got an excellent guy who, you know what I mean, is going to be leave his mark and legacy on this franchise for years to come in Harrison. You know what I mean? So I know there's a lot of chatter or whatever about, you know, kicker one. Harrison is obviously kicker one, guys. You know, just put that to bed right now. But if he ever wants to play off, you know, he wants to take a break, I got his back. Yeah. Yeah. Huh?
You need a warm up. You don't want to go in there cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You've done a kickoff in a preseason game. How much would it mean to you if you did get a chance to try a field goal or an extra point?
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be so fun. I was supposed to get one in that game that I did the kickoffs. We just didn't get in position. The coaches wanted to wait until the fourth quarter to let me get a chance, and we just didn't end up getting down there to kick one. But, hey, second chance.
How much are you campaigning for it?
I'm trying to plant some seeds. Right. Yeah, well, you know what I mean? It's going to be up to the coaches, and whatever they decide, I'm good with.
What's your effective
range on a field goal? What's your effective
range? If you get a
chance to warm up. In game? Yeah.
I'd say comfortable around 45. We could stretch it to 50. 50-yard field goal, meaning kicking from the 40 or kicking from the 35.
Left hash, right hash?
Middle left hash. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. There's Justin Reed, backup kicker, getting his thoughts on playing safety and if there's something that will literally never happen in a game. Justin Reed. Left hash, he's good from about 45 or 50 yards, would like to be warmed up when he comes in the game. Maybe there's a chance of kicking off one time and wants to reassure fans that Harrison Butker is actually the number one kicker on this team.
But, I enjoyed some of the stuff he said in the first half there.
But Brian Cook, also really smart and physical, and looking forward to watching him play. He was right that his first preseason game was in Kansas City against the Chiefs. His first preseason snap was against Travis Kelce. It was Patrick Mahomes, and it was a 14-yard gain to Patrick Mahomes. Curl route, to Travis Kelce. Mahomes passed short middle to Travis Kelce, 14 yards. Take that, Justin Reed. Huh? Punk? Well, welcome to the NFL. Of course, that drive by Mahomes resulted in a punt, and then the next drive resulted in a punt. So, whatever. I think they figured it out offensively with Mahomes, that guy. But first two possessions, Mahomes in an actual preseason game, punt and punt. They got those out of the way early. And I do think Townsend will be the number one punter as well this year, not Justin Reed. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we'll continue rolling, hanging out here at the Midland Theater. The virtual auction is live right now at 810WHB.com. Go there. Check out all of the awesome items that you can get presented by Victory Ford, Victory Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ascentist Healthcare.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
There's one other piece of audio from today that I think is really interesting, but honestly, we went super long in the first segment, and I want to spend a second like unpacking this. Is it too early to take a break here, Beards?
No, never too early.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so wrapping up this hour, longer segment there with all the press conferences, or in and out of press conferences. With that, we should have just like when it broke, or when we had some of the difficulties, we should have just then continued whatever the answer might have been.
We did a little bit of that.
Oh yeah, obviously,
something along those lines.
Your Justin Reed impression stinks.
Or Andy Reid. Doggone it, Herbie. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? Well, you know, the guys are going to get a first. Doggone it, Herbie.
I'll give that to you.
Doggone it, Herbie.
Let me get that to you.
The virtual auction live at 810WHB.com going on right now. It closes at 10 o'clock tonight, so go check out all of the awesome items that are there presented by KC Credit Union, Outdoor Lending, and Xfinity. We will take a timeout. We'll talk some Chiefs football. Craig Stout, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. We'll talk with him about what he's seeing from this team and what he wants to see on Saturday. Coming up next.